Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergent zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show. Hi, everybody. Welcome to today's show. This is Molly McCord, your host for this weekly gathering of spiritual wisdom and insights. Thank you for being here. I'm very happy, as always, for your energetic presence, as I know you have a lot of ways you can spend your time. Today's session is going to be hopefully very empowering for you. We're talking about spiritual boundaries, discernment, and solitude. These are themes that come up time and time again in our lives. And when we have conscious understanding of the gifts and opportunities present within each of these experiences, we can make the most of them and understand them from the bigger cosmic picture. So we're going to look at those themes. I have some ways for you to tap into this energy consciously. I also have a really lovely visual to understand these energies and how they all work together, as well as what you can do to work with them in the fullest capacity possible. So we're going to start that in just a moment. Also in this show, in the second half of the show, we look at an astrology topic, and we're going to check out Saturn in your astrology chart. So as always, please grab your astrology chart, your natal chart, if you have it. You can get a free copy on astro.com. You enter in your birth information, and it will draw up your natal chart for free, and we will check out where Saturn is located. Now, as I say each week, we look at one dimension of the astrology chart. There are multiple dimensions and energies happening within every astrological chart. So we're just looking at one, and we're just going to look at the placement of Saturn in your chart and which house it is, which piece of the pie, as I like to say, that Saturn is located in. So that's just one part of it. If you want more information about Saturn or your chart in general, you might benefit from an astrology reading either from me or from someone else that you trust. And the reason why we're looking at Saturn is because Saturn in astrology represents the energies of boundaries, discernment, and solitude. So we're bringing it all together here with one cohesive theme. A few announcements as well for you. Next week on the show, I'm very excited. We're going to have our monthly question and answer sessions about spiritual topics, and there are some great questions coming in. I mentioned a few last week. We're going to look at what it means when psychics are quote-unquote wrong. We're going to look at affirmations and whether or not affirmations are just a Band-Aid or something more. And we're going to look at a few other questions that are still coming in. So if you have something on your mind, feel free to submit it via Facebook, Twitter, or ConsciousCoolChic.com. You can go to the website there and fill out a form to send in your question. It does need to be submitted by Monday of next week. I believe that's the 27th, by Monday midnight, your time zone. That allows me enough time to tap into my spiritual guidance and intuitive abilities and get you an answer. So that's next week. And then I wanted to share with you this cool experience I had a few days ago. We went to a concert. We went and saw Fleetwood Mac in concert a few nights ago, and I really love their music. They've been around forever. A lot of history, a lot of growth within that group. You know, they are a soul group. That's why they are together, as are many bands and entities. They are one soul group working out everything they need to do in this lifetime. And as I was at the concert, I had a few thoughts that came to me. One is how amazing it is that music brings us together. Every person in that audience had a different story, different background, different ages, different everything, and yet we can unite with music. And that's one of the things I love about going to concerts and shows is the unity, you know, the common elements and the ways that we can have a good time together energetically and just be present in that experience. And the other thing that came through as I was at the show was this reminder that we are each artists, that we are each creating something with other people, for other people, for ourselves, with ourselves, but we are each artists. And when I go to an art show or a museum or a concert, that energy comes up even stronger because we're literally in the presence of somebody that we identify as an artist, right? But it's the fact that we are all artists because we are all creating with our energy. We are all creating something with our energy. And you might not consider yourself a full-blown artist in that, you know, you're no Picasso, or you don't consider yourself artistically gifted. But the idea is to remember that energetically you are an artist because you are creating, you are a creator, and you use your energy to connect with other people, to understand yourself better, to make something that is unique and of your own divine, awesome, energetic imprint. And so I was reminded of that when I was at this concert about how we are all artists, regardless if we're on the stage or in the audience. And then it's such a wonderful time to be able to express our gifts and to share with others and to feel love for that part of ourselves. I had an astrology session a few weeks ago with a gentleman who is very much an artist, and he couldn't absorb that because he didn't see himself as an artist in terms of the typical definition of an artist. And so I let it be. I just let that sit on the table. You know, I wasn't going to force him to understand or anything. You know, it was for him to take it if he wanted to take it or not. But it was wonderful to see how this theme keeps coming up, this reminder that we have so much we can create and that we're here to express and share, and that our creativity is alive inside of us when we are ready for it and when we want to work with it more. So I share that with you because regardless of what's happening in your life or what is going on that feels out of your control, you are an artist. You are someone who is here with the conscious abilities to create and experience exactly what you want when you tap into that and own it. And I find that to be very uplifting. That's something that we all have in common, and it's a wonderful, wonderful talent to recognize is our artistic abilities. Okay, I'm going to ground myself here because I feel very strongly, really strongly, wow, moving through my solar plexus, a lot of energy around today's topic. We're going to look at boundaries, discernment, and solitude. I'm going to go through each one of those. I'm going to relate them all together. I'm going to give you some ways you can tap into these energies very consciously for yourself so that when you need them, you know where and how to access them. Now, something that's important to understand about each one of these themes is that they come up continuously throughout our lives. It's not just one and done. You don't just have one experience of solitude and then it's over. You don't just have to put up one boundary and it's done. These are energies we're continually working with, and we are choosing how to work with them. We're also being given the opportunities to work with them in new ways that match our energies change, as we grow, as we move forward and spiral up into higher expressions and ways of being. These three themes will always be present because they are a vital part of our human experience. They are important, very important. They help mature us. They help us with our own inner adult responsibilities and honoring ourselves, honoring our authority, understanding how we use our energy, honoring our free will as well as another person's free will. And these things are really important for returning us energetically to the experiences of being a soul. Meaning, being a soul, the energetic vibration of being a soul is one where you are in your own energetic imprint, and at the same time, you're connected to others, but you're strong in your own essence. You're not feeding off of another. You're not needing something from another. You're not attached. You're not in a place of expectation. You're just in a place of allowing, accepting, being. And when we understand how to use the boundaries, discernment, and solitude energetically, we are even fuller expressions of ourselves because of those energies. But I will be honest with you, it doesn't always feel that way. It does not always feel that way, especially when this lesson or theme comes up in your life unexpectedly, when it comes through a person, relationship, experience that you didn't expect, that it can come on pretty strongly, and it can feel disempowering initially until you understand why it's happening and what the lessons were. Now, because these tests and lessons do not completely go away, it's important that we know how to work with them. And when I say tests, I want to be clear. I don't mean tests as in pass, fail, you know, you made it, you didn't make it. It's a test in terms of a choice point that you make. That is, in fact, maybe test isn't even the best word, but it's the best word I can use right now to describe this. It's a choice point where you choose, okay, am I going to use my energy this way? Am I going to use it that way? And am I going to consciously connect to the biggest, best possible good in this situation? Or am I going to allow my unconscious programming and beliefs guide me? So we have these experiences to nudge us forward, to keep us growing, to stand more in our power, and to connect with the fullness of our choices. So when you are coming or you're moving through an experience that feels perhaps very trying or exhausting, it's because you haven't connected to the fuller picture of it. But that is always available to you. That's something I've touched on before in previous episodes of the show, which is that you can always choose to connect to the energies of love, forgiveness, acceptance, gratitude, and trust and faith. You can always connect to those energies regardless of anything else that's happening around you. And one of the best visuals I have for that is that if you were to look out your window and it's storming and cloudy and thunderstorms and dark and gray, that's just in your immediate place. That's just where you are right now. But if you were to break through and above all of that, there is still a shining sun up there in the sky. And so that is the same as reaching up over and through the lower density energies to connect to love, trust, gratitude, compassion, forgiveness, all of that, regardless of the weather that's happening all around you. And so what I want to connect you with here and now are ways you can experience the highest possible energies regardless of external weather, and only experience knowing that it's part of your mastery. It's part of what you're here to do and to work with and to claim. And I'm feeling this so strongly, that there are many people listening to this who just need reassurance and are remembering that these situations around boundaries and discernment, solitude, all these things that could feel very trying are actually meant to make you stronger, not weaker. And so this is how I'm being shown it. This is how you can connect to the best of every situation right away. For boundaries, when you're having an experience where somebody is not honoring your boundaries, where you feel intruded upon, or you're just feeling invaded or invasive, the energetic boundaries, the answers to that lie in your heart chakra. Okay, that's in the middle part of your chest there. It's right there around your heart, literally. It's a green energy. And that will connect you to your current energetic state, because your heart is always connected to that part of you. It's always connected to your emotional energy, but higher emotional energy, meaning the parts of you that always love, always forgive, always have gratitude. When you're feeling tested around boundaries, or that is coming up for you, say in a relationship or in a professional matter or in a creative venture, whatever that is, you go to your heart chakra and you get information directly from your heart about what feels safe for you, what honors you, where you feel strong at your core. So if you were to focus on that part of your energetic being, on your heart chakra, you would have instant information around boundaries. And what's beautiful about this is that when you connect with your heart chakra and you get information about boundaries, say you're getting in, you're having some uncertainty around someone in your world, his name is Jack, and you're not sure if you should be in a relationship with Jack or if you should do a professional venture with Jack, you know, something just feels off, and you're wondering, well, is this something I should do? Should I go through with this? What you want to do is connect to your heart chakra and listen for the information about Jack or this person. And what you're also doing on some level energetically is you're connecting to Jack's heart chakra too. When you are asking a question about somebody or trying to get information, you can set the intention to work with their best and highest good as well. And you will hear, say you hear, for example, that no, you need to be very clear with Jack around your boundaries about what you will do and won't do. At the same time, when you get that information, you are also on some level honoring Jack's boundaries. It's a win-win. And that's because the energy that's circulating between the two of you is guiding you to this higher understanding. You know, we can have this perception that when you make something that's right for me, what if it's not right for that person? But in the bigger sphere of energy, the answer and the choice that's right for you is also always right for the other person. Do they know that? No. Might it be something they're consciously aware of? Not at all. But the fact is that when you are firm in your boundaries and you respect yourself and your own energies, you are also reinforcing that same energy for the other person. And that's why boundaries are so important, because you can see it as being mutually beneficial. So then you decide, okay, I guess I'm not going to be able to do everything that I thought I could do with Jack, but I can do some things. You know, I can commit to this, or I can follow through on this, but I'm not going to be able to do everything that he's asking of me, and I need to be very clear about that. When you are very clear with that about Jack, you are also then releasing him from further expectations of you and further attachments to you energetically. Now, that's not to say, again, that it's conscious. He could still reach out and push the envelope and, you know, push back and try and get more, but that's just his ego energy working there. When you are firm in your boundaries, you are also honoring what's best for him when you honor what's best for you. And I offer that as a comforting way to understand boundaries. It doesn't have to be something where you win and the other person loses. That's a very outdated perspective. So know that, okay? And know that when you go into your heart chakra for that clarity and information, it's a very pure place, which is much different than going into your mental egoic body for information. So that's boundaries. Ooh, okay, that was big. The next one is discernment. Now, discernment is very much related to boundaries, but a discernment is about picking and choosing what is the best way to invest your energy, to spend your energy, to choose what you need right now. So it is very much connected to boundaries. However, it requires a little bit more information from yourself. And so what you want to do to get clarity around discernment is to go into your third eye chakra. Your third eye, okay? That's right there in the middle of your forehead, energetically. And it's where you receive more intuitive information. You get a bigger understanding of what's going on, of the energies in place, of the feelings you have around something, and why you're feeling a pause in the first place. Discernment is key because discernment helps us make the choices that empower us and where we are right now energetically. It allows you to maintain your energy, to own it, to work with it, and to make decisions that are best for you right now. Discernment is something that, again, we are continually given opportunities to work with because our energy is always changing, always. If you were to look at your energy today versus last week, you would probably see it differently versus today and a month ago or today and 10 years ago. Energy is always in motion, always changing, and so we use our discernment to tap into the other energies that will support us and help us move forward while also recognizing those energies that would not do that and that would potentially hold us back. So your third eye chakra is where you can go for clarity. That's usually a key word associated with discernment, is clarity. You could have confusion about something. It could feel right, but something feels a little bit off, or the timing isn't quite matching up and you're not sure why, or you're questioning somebody else's motive. You're questioning whether or not this is a long-term benefit or a short-term thing. There's just a lot of questions that can come up and cause confusion, and confusion will take you away from clarity. So you want to tap into your third eye chakra for clarity, and to have discernment about what you want to work with. Now, discernment is interesting because you may, this could be what happens, is that you need clarity first before setting up a boundary, right? You need to know, okay, what's going on here? What am I trying to figure out? And then I'll know what type of boundary I need to put in place. So they very much work together and support one another. So discernment is something to use regularly to strengthen, to connect to your third eye for even basic information, even things that you might not think are a big deal. You know, they're not the big life-changing questions, but you're still looking for clarity or information about something. I mean, it could be as simple as where you want to go to dinner on Saturday night. It could be whether or not you should reach out to a friend. This is all about tapping into your intuition and discerning how you need to spend your energy right now. Okay, so then let's move into solitude. Solitude can be such a serious word. Solitude is a tremendous gift. However, it might not feel like it at the time. Usually when we are in moments of solitude, it's because, well, it could be because we need time away from something. Perhaps it's the end of a relationship or you're going through a big life transition. Solitude can be about feeling very alone, very even potentially depressed or low. Solitude is, I'm feeling a lot of heavy energy come up with this because I think it's very misunderstood. Solitude is actually one of the best ways that we can connect with ourselves, connect with our needs, with the voice that's whispering in our head, with our gut, with our intuitive information. One form of solitude that we've learned to value and prize is meditation. Meditation is solitude. And it's where we are opening up even more to our own energy, our own self, our own soul, and the information there. Solitude is a beautiful gift we give ourselves, but we can misinterpret it and look at how it is being away from others. Because by definition, it is. It's being by oneself. But the opportunities of solitude are numerous. And the abilities to work with and own your own energy are incredible. To connect with solitude in your being and to feel powerful in solitude, you want to connect with your root chakra. That's at your base of your spine. It's the chakra that is red. You would look in the chart. It's about the survival and primal instinct. And it's about being solid and grounded in your own energy and who you are. It's a baseline energy. Solitude offers us the opportunities to get quiet, to get silent, to not pay attention to everything else that's happening outside, but to look at what is happening inside. We need that silence, especially in our modern day busy, crazy world. We need to be able to get quiet and to get closer to ourselves. Solitude can be by choice or not by choice, and that's often where we find or determine if it's powerful or not, because we think, oh, well, if I choose solitude or if I'm choosing to be by myself out in a cabin in the woods, then perfect, you know, that's my choice. But if I am not choosing it and all my friends have disappeared and I don't have a relationship and I don't know what to do next in my life and I'm all alone, then we interpret it to be powerless. However, anytime we are experiencing solitude, we are also at a new beginning point, because then we're given the gift of determining how will I use my energy next? Where will I direct my energy next? And where will I make a new choice that is in tune and in alignment with my energy now? So the important thing with solitude is understanding that there are so many benefits when we connect with our own energy, our own self, and that we need that, especially in our modern world. We need to turn off the TV, unplug from the computer, get away from electronics in general, and be out in nature, be out in the world, listen to our own inner voices. And as I said, meditation is one of the ways we do that now. So it's become more regular in our world, much more regular. And that has been very beneficial in allowing each of us to tap into our own inner knowing even more. Because when we each tap into our own inner knowing, we benefit not only ourselves, but many others. You know, we strengthen that energy around the globe. Okay, so I have a visual to share with you around boundaries, discernment, and solitude. I want you to picture a house, and in front of that house is a beautiful lawn, green grass, garden, really lovely. And the garden has open space for planting. The part of this visual that represents boundaries is the fence around the property. The fence could be high, shut out, no one can look in, no one can look out, or it can be an open fence. It could be a loose fence. It could be a white picket fence. It could be a wire chain fence. It could have barbed wire at the top. But whatever visual you're seeing in the fence represents boundaries. And so if you do have a very high wall or a high tall fence and no one else can see in, look at how that is supporting you or potentially not supporting you. Because while that fence might keep things in, it also keeps things out. And so consider what it would mean to lower the fence, where you can see the neighbors next to you and you can see the surrounding area and still feel safe and protected. Imagine if that fence was newly polished, very clear, is beautiful. It's a beautiful fence. It's the best fence in the neighborhood. It catches people's eye. They look at it. They admire it. That is where the energy of boundaries shows up in our lives. It's how we are taking care of our property, of ourselves, where we are clearly defining our energetic space, where we are able to let people in and let people out. The fence represents boundaries. Now, in that yard, that beautiful yard, there's also the space where you can plant new vegetables, new flowers, new vegetation, all over. There are open places for new buds and seeds, and there are some filled spaces. And this is discernment, is the ability to receive, say, a plant or a vegetable start from somebody else, and then you discern whether or not you're going to plant it. You might receive it with gratitude and thank you for the gift, and oh, this is beautiful, how thoughtful. But then you discern what gets planted into your garden. Some things are better as, you know, a beautiful potted plant that sits out on the porch for a summer and then it's gone. Other things that you receive might be wonderful to put into your garden and have them take root and last for a long time. So discernment is the ability to receive something as well as to give, but to receive something and to determine if it's for your best and highest good, and if so, for how long and where you want it to be. It's about choice. So you receive something, and then you choose what to do with it. And that is discernment in this example, where you decide what gets planted, what stays, and what goes. Then the third element to this is solitude. And solitude is being able to look at this beautiful space, to look at all of this property, this layout, everything that you have planted, and to be in it, to sit in the middle of it and have your energy be strong, powerful, honored, and to notice that you're not alone, even if that's the feeling. That you're still innately connected to everything. But because you're so strong in your own energy, you can sit in the middle of this beautiful lawn and enjoy it all. And be by yourself and honor yourself while also feeling deeply connected to everything around you. Maybe that's feeling the grass, touching the dirt, running your hand along the fence, whatever it needs to be. You are in your own energetic space and you are honoring it and you are deeply connected. So being comfortable with this energy is essential to understanding you at a soul level and connecting with your own soul gifts, listening to your voice more, being in control of the energies as they come up, understanding that you always have choice and owning it. And as I said at the beginning, these lessons and these choice points will always come and go. They're never 100% done or complete. They come back around. They have different forms, different shapes, different faces. They always come back around. And you just get keener at noticing them, at understanding them, at connecting with the points in you that bring you clarity, and understanding that you always have a choice about how you want to use these energies. Big stuff. It's really big stuff. And the idea is that you will further master these energies so that you can move through them quicker, you can recognize them sooner, and you can find the power within them faster. We're going to take a quick break, 60-second break, and then come back and look at your astrology chart and look at where Saturn is in your chart. I have been on an ABBA kick for some reason. So I'm going to play this song for you, and I'll be back in 60 seconds. Waterloo by ABBA. I don't know why I'm on an ABBA kick lately, but I'm just going with it. So we are moving here into the astrology section of our show. And if you don't have your chart in front of you right now, no problem. You can grab it later and come back and listen to the show again. It's about the 38-minute mark here. So you can just fast forward and land on the 38-minute mark and get started. So Saturn in our chart is a very interesting energy. Saturn is the representation of our inner adult, of maturity, responsibility, wisdom. Saturn is about what is real in the world, meaning what we can touch, you know what actually exists and what is in form. It relates to timing, meaning things. Like, look at nature. You know, nature is in a circular cycle, and it is about creating in form. You know, the trees bear fruit, and then those fruits fall off the tree, land in the ground. The leaves shrink back. They grow dead in the fall, and then the winter it is dormant, and then the cycle begins again in spring. This is connected to Saturn in that you are looking at what is in form and how it changes through time and how it matures and grows. Saturn is concerned about making something real and about owning and taking responsibility for your life. One thing that people often think about Saturn is that it can be very heavy. It can be the disciplinarian. It can be like that really tough teacher who just wants you to keep studying and studying and working and working and get stuff done. It can represent authority figures in our lives and how we deal with authority, how we might react or push back with authority if we don't want to be challenged in that way. Saturn is about following through on our commitments, looking at where we are investing our energy, where we are hoping to make something real and come to fruition. What's very interesting is that in our solar system, if you were to look at the lineup of all the planets, Jupiter, which is the biggest, most abundant planet, comes in the lineup, then followed by Saturn. And I find it interesting because Saturn and Jupiter, I think, are both associated with manifestation, but through different energetic means. Jupiter will bring something big and beautiful and over-the-top wonderful. And then Saturn will show up and say, how are you going to use that responsibly? You can't just go overboard. You can't just eat every piece of candy that comes your way. You need to be responsible with your diet, or you need to be aware of the consequences. Saturn is related to consequences, in that when you make a decision or a commitment, there are consequences to it. So what we're going to look at here, and again, this is going to be fairly general because it's just one dimension of your chart. We're going to look at where Saturn shows up in your astrology chart, in which of the 12 houses, and when you see where it's showing up in your life, you're going to understand even better where you chose to have these choice points around responsibilities, around commitments, around areas of your life where you need to be a bigger adult and have more responsibility. So let's take a look at the first house. Now, I have a picture of the astrological houses on the Blog Talk Radio website slideshow there. So it shows where the first house is. It's on the left-hand side. And I also have up there a glyph of what Saturn looks like so that you can find it in your chart. So if you need to take a moment and locate Saturn, go ahead and do that. You can press pause on this. But then you'll be able to see where Saturn is in your chart. And it looks like a T with another loop to the right-hand side. So it's probably easier for you just to look and see what the image is instead of me describing it. But that's what you're looking for. So let's start in the first house. Saturn in the first house. One more thing to tell you. Again, I'm not looking at Saturn in a particular astrological sign, which is going to be important in determining how this energy comes up for you and how you display it. We're just looking at the area of life it is. So, for example, Saturn in Libra is going to have very different energy than Saturn in Cancer or Saturn in Aquarius. So the energetic expression is going to be very different depending on which sign Saturn is in. So we're just looking at the area of your life, okay? Area of your life. So Saturn in the first house, that means that in this area of your life, you are focused on really figuring out and developing your self-identity. Who am I? How do I show up in the world? How do I take care of myself? How do I take care of my physical body? Who am I as an individual? You might have some repeated themes here where you're not quite sure who you are and that it takes you a little bit longer in life to mature into that self-identity. Again, Saturn is related to maturing and the rewards that come with time. So the rewards aren't instantaneous or right away. They are rewards and energies you grow into as you mature. And that maturity is not only through age, but through energetics, through physicality, through your mental maturation. So there's a variety of ways that we mature in life and at different speeds and rates. And Saturn is concerned with all of that. So Saturn in the first house is about self-identity. and really growing into who you are and how you identify yourself. Not in relationships, but how you identify yourself in your own way. Now, Saturn in the second house is about looking at self-worth and how you value yourself. And if you place a lot of importance in possessions, in money, in finances, in luxury brands, Saturn in the second house is about looking at where you make commitments to your self-worth. Are you investing in yourself for your own pure reasons, or are you investing in yourself so that it looks good, so that it supports your brand, your own personal lifestyle? This is what people can be unconsciously really caught up in, acquiring possessions without also developing their self-worth. So money is involved here, tests around money, tests around your personal resources and how you spend your time, and just your overall value system. Your value system is maturing as you grow, and you want to look at where you're making financial commitments. Now, Saturn in the third house connects to your mental processes and how you communicate with others. Perhaps you choose your words very carefully. You are very adamant about using the proper words. You're very responsible with language. There could be some issues here related to siblings and your relationship with siblings and how they test you or mature you. There could also be some connections here to how you spend your energy on a daily basis, where you might feel the need to conserve and you're not interested in traveling around a lot or moving about. It's more of a pullback of energy in the third house, just as like it's a pullback of communication. It could be hard for you to say what you think. And so one of your soul choices was that you were going to be very intentional and mature in how you use your communication skills. Now, Saturn in the fourth house relate to your private emotional world, and you could feel a restriction in expressing emotions. There could be a need to be very grounded in your home base and having a home and taking care of it and having something you can rely on, something safe and nurturing, a place for you to go so that you can take care of yourself. You might be very responsible with real estate, with your home. This also would signal some issues with parents, mother-father dynamics, and what you learn from your parents about what it means to be an adult in the world. And the fourth house, it strongly relates to feelings and emotional security. So with Saturn there, you can also wonder if you feel emotionally secure in the world and how your feelings might have been restricted when you were growing up, how emotional expression was not encouraged. See, Saturn does relate to our fathers in our lives and how that energy is displayed. Okay, I'm feeling some big stuff here. The Saturn and father component is key, and it relates to, you know, how we are being productive in our lives and making achievements and growing, and it's less concerned about the emotional stuff and how you feel. It's not concerned about the inner world. It's about the outer world. Again, that's what Saturn relates to, is the outer world and how to make something real. So that is an important component to each one of these house placements. Now, Saturn in the fifth house relates to the areas of personal expression, creativity, love life, what you create, what gives you pleasure. So it could be that there's a part of your life that this requires more effort to figure out how to use your creativity, how to bring it out into the world. There could be some fears around being in a spotlight or taking a risk. There could be some restraints around love relationships and making sure you don't go overboard or you're not taking too many risks. That is associated with Saturn in the fifth house. Then we move to Saturn in the sixth house, and this is about how you exert your energy in the form of service in your work life. There could be a feeling here of heavy responsibility around your daily work life, and like you have to show up every day. You can't take a sick day. You can't have any physical ailments or anything holding you back from these responsibilities. You really want to follow through on the commitments, and there's a lot of satisfaction there. However, there's also the concern that if you overdo it too much and you're not taking care of yourself and you're not watching your health, the situation you're trying to avoid is exactly what manifests, where you're working too much and you become sick. So with Saturn in the sixth house, there is responsibility around physical health, how you exert your energy to support other people, and being aware that you are also needed to support yourself and to check in with yourself about how you are being responsible for others and for you. Now we move into the seventh house. And this is where we start interacting with other people. So the first six houses are about our inner world, our own energies, and then we go into the following six houses, which is where we start to incorporate and work with other people's energies. So Saturn in the seventh house relates to relationships, partnerships, personal commitments, cooperation, that give and take energy. And if you have Saturn here, you are very clear about where you make commitments, and or you have some of your biggest tests around commitments and what you agree to. Now, these could be business agreements, official negotiations and contracts, but it could also be just through partnerships and relationships. So this is an area of your life where you experience your biggest learning curves. And it's through other people, and maybe they challenge you, or maybe they push back, maybe they force your hand, so to speak. There's legalities mixed up in this too, so it could even be that you find yourself in legal arrangements or situations where you need to access your inner maturity and inner balance to get a solution. Saturn in the seventh house means you take marriage and partnership very seriously. You know, you don't just fritter away, or it's not something that you're lackadaisical about. You're serious about it. And because of that, it has more weight, more importance. And it could be that you decide to get married later in life. You push back what that means to be in a relationship with somebody because you're not quite ready yet. You're not quite there. And so, again, with Saturn, it's about being, it's a maturity thing. And so it could be that later in life, you just feel that you're ready to have a partnership. Or it could be that if you got married when you were younger, whatever that means for you, you take it very seriously, and it's something you're very much committed to. And it also is an area of life that brings you some of your greatest lessons around cooperation. Okay, so then we move into the eighth house. The eighth house is about shared resources, things that we obviously share with others. That could be mutual, joint things such as insurance, taxes. The IRS is the eighth house. Owning property with somebody else. It can be about anything related to psychology, sexuality, because obviously sexuality is an experience with another. Opinions, being very concerned about other people's opinions, could be related to Saturn in the eighth house. psychology, taboos, deep transformation. This energy relates to what you share with other people, and as such, you could experience lessons around that. You need to be mature in what you agree to do for somebody else. You need to be very aware of the commitments and responsibilities you take on and where other people depend on you. It could be co-signing a loan is the Saturn in the eighth house thing, where now you are responsible as well as somebody else is financially responsible for the same thing. So the other part of this is Saturn can make you, it can test your boundaries around how much of other people's energies you unconsciously take in and absorb that and how that transforms you on some level. So there's lessons here around being aware of your own energetic boundaries and how you work with other people's energies. Okay, now we move to Saturn in the ninth house. And this is related to the bigger picture things, the bigger picture beliefs, philosophies, faith, internationalism, religion, publishing, higher education. Saturn here means that you could have some very set, clear beliefs. You might really have an understanding of the world that is right for you and that you use as a guiding beacon in your life. Saturn in the ninth house would make you would get some of your biggest lessons through travel, international travel, other cultures, learning, studying, going for the big picture. At the same time, you might feel a restriction around that. So it's interesting here because in the ninth house, we associate that with expansion, but Saturn is about restriction. So it could even be that you don't travel as much as you want to and that you feel the need to step back and just look at things in a very detached manner and that you don't want to go out into the world as much, but you know that you still want to learn and absorb the information. Saturn in the 10th house relates to our career, our purpose in the world, rewards and recognition, external manifestation of goals. If you have Saturn here, career is probably very important. It's a huge area of learning for you. It's where you learn not only to work with other people's authority, but to work with your own authority, to look at your own needs of being recognized and being rewarded and status. What is your status in the world? And how does that support who you really are and the services that you're offering? The 10th house is about what you can do for the greater good of all. And so being responsible with those choices and how you invest your energy. Saturn in the 11th house is about connecting to friendships, social relationships, group activities, humanity at large. This is about having a responsibility for your engagement and actions with the bigger picture, you know, with what you can do to support other people's growth as well as your own. There's a bigger picture going on here in the 11th house. This is where you're looking at how you can benefit many. At the same time, there could be tests around groups, specifically groups of friends, maybe feeling like you don't fit in, feeling different. There could be feeling like you don't connect to group activities, that you always, maybe you feel like the older person in the group or the more mature person. You want to make sure you're not, again, completely detaching from society and going off into the abyss, and going off and setting up your own commune somewhere, which could be possible. But the idea is that this is where you have a lot of really important ideas and ways of connecting with people that could benefit many. And with Saturn, it's about making it real. It's about taking it from an idea and making it something tangible. And then we move into Saturn in the 12th house. And this is a very karmic location. This is where we are in our own energy a lot. It is associated with spirituality and solitude and metaphysical interests. The 12th house is actually a very karmic house, and it's also the place where we have parts of ourselves that are hidden from view. And so with Saturn here, you could not see all of your spiritual gifts or abilities. You could have some unknown forces working against you, and until you identify them and embrace them, they will still be in the background working and feeling like they are, quote-unquote, against you. This is an area of life where trust is very important and things you can't see are important. And there could be a part of you that just doubts all of that. You don't believe in the things you can't see. You want to see it. You want to touch it. And trust could be a difficult term, or faith. So this part of your life would signal that you are here to understand these energies from a very responsible viewpoint, and you need to do it on your own terms and in your own way, in a private space, in a sacred space. And you're being asked to trust in greater ways because, no, you can't see it and you can't touch it, but it's still valuable. And so the question is, how much of your energy do you want to work with in order to mature as a spiritual being? This is a location of spiritual maturity. And so you would be continually presented with circumstances and relationships in your life that would bring you to that choice point of, do I want to take the mature route with this, or am I going to disappear and hide and go off on my own? So there's a lot there in the 12th house, and there's a lot that Saturn offers us in general. Saturn makes its annual return, which means it makes a full and complete circle around the zodiac every 28 to 30 years. This usually happens about 3 times in our lives. So we have these check-in points where we look and see how we are growing and maturing and taking on our responsibilities as they come, and we're able to look at these energies and own them as part of our soul, as part of our own unique vibration. So that is today's show. Thank you so much for being here. I will be with you next week. I am live every Wednesday at noon Pacific time, or you can listen anytime that you want on the Blog Talk Radio archives or on iTunes. So I will look for you next week. Thank you so much.
I have become alive. I wish that I could have this moment for life, for life, for life. Cause in this moment I just feel so alive, alive, alive. I wish that I could have this moment for life. I'm home.